The following is a recording from Sunday morning worship at Faith Presbyterian Church in Covington, Louisiana. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you join us any Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship. For more details, check out faithpreschurch.org.
Let us pray. Oh God, we are grateful to be here with our brothers and sisters this morning, and we pray now that as your word is read and preached here and in children's worship, that our minds and hearts would be open to it, that we would be shaped accordingly. And Lord, I pray for my brother Chris as he preaches your word, that you would give him boldness and courage and love for you and for us as he does that good work. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 30. You can find it in the Pew Bible, page 372, and the Following Jesus Bible, page 454. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazeron Tamar," that is, Engedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek Yahweh and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from Yahweh. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek Yahweh. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of Yahweh before the new court and said, "O Yahweh, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdom of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did not you, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house,' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before Yahweh with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the spirit of Yahweh came upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says Yahweh to you, 'Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of Yahweh on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and Yahweh will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise Yahweh, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to Yahweh and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to Yahweh, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, Yahweh sent an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting themselves to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed Yahweh. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Baraka to this day. There they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for Yahweh had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of Yahweh, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they had heard that Yahweh had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you have little ones, first grade and under, who'd like to go back for our children's worship, they can join our children's director, Brittany Rucker, and our volunteers. We just ask if there's anyone visiting and hasn't been back there before, that one parent go with them to get them signed up with our volunteers and staff.
Well, thank you, Amy. That was like a marathon. In this series, A Divided Nation, you've heard quite a few stories of failure. Believing that these stories have been recorded for us to learn from, we have reflected on how to avoid those mistakes. Today, however, we reflect on a positive story of how Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah successfully faced an enemy they could not defeat. Their story is a promise to us. When we face adversaries we cannot defeat, God is our champion. He wants us to look to Him for deliverance. And while He defeats our adversaries, we should worship and obey. God purposefully allows His children to face adversaries they cannot defeat. And today, we see that God allowed Jehoshaphat and Judah to face a confederation of Moabites, Ammonites, and Meunites, and consider Jehoshaphat's prayer. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. These neighboring tribes were descendants of Esau and of Lot, and their land had been given to them as a possession by Yahweh. Faithful to his word, he would not allow Israel to drive them out as they took the promised land. This means he protected them, knowing that one day they joined forces to form a powerful confederation and attempt to drive Jehoshaphat and Judah from the land. Yahweh also knew that this would cause Jehoshaphat and Judah to look to him, and he would demonstrate his faithfulness and power to deliver them. God allows us to face spiritual adversaries and ultimately death itself. We live in the time when God patiently waits for sinners to repent and trust the gospel, and He is able to use all things for His good purpose. Suffering produces character, perseverance, and hope. Even death and judgment are instruments of His benevolent purpose. They call sinners to repentance, and believers to an earnest and sober-minded pursuit of holiness. Unless you live to see Jesus return, you will too also experience physical death. This is for our good, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, nor the perishable the imperishable. In all these circumstances, God wants us to look to Him for deliverance. For this to happen, we must understand our need of Him. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah knew they could not defeat their enemy. The text tells us that when the Moabites, Ammonites, and Meunites joined forces, the result was a great multitude. Also, they were already in Judah's territorial backyard, in a location that probably took Jehoshaphat by surprise. Jehoshaphat knew that they were outmaneuvered and outnumbered. The text tells us, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Something similar happens when Christians recognize they are sinners who owe a debt they cannot pay. The one who truly belongs to God will turn to Jesus, knowing that his sin poses a problem too great for him to solve. Like Paul, he will confess, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he looks to God for deliverance because he trusts in his power. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah believed that Yahweh was all-powerful over all kingdoms and nations. The text tells us that Jehoshaphat was afraid. It's a common mistake to reach for the wrong solution when you're afraid. In fact, this is a recurring theme in the saga of Israel and Judah. However, in this story, Jehoshaphat behaves admirably and immediately demonstrates trust in Yahweh. He proclaims a fast throughout Judah, and the people assemble in Jerusalem to seek Yahweh together as a nation, men, women, and children. Jehoshaphat stands up in the assembly and begins his plea to God like this: "O Yahweh, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." Christians believe the gospel of Jesus is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The one who truly belongs to God will look to Christ, who died for sin and conquered the grave. He will recognize the power of the cross and the empty tomb and set his hope fully on that grace brought to him at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This will lead him to increasingly take confidence in God's character, faithfulness, and love. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah remembered that Yahweh had given them the land and permitted them to build a temple there for his name. As Jehoshaphat prays, he draws upon the past. "We are the descendants of Abraham, your friend. We live in the land where you allowed a sanctuary for your name to be built." He remembers Solomon's prayer at the temple dedication, that it would be a place from which Yahweh would hear the supplications of his people. Jehoshaphat and the people believe in the character of Yahweh, and they are confident that he will champion his people out of his covenant faithfulness. Christians are persuaded by the cross of God's love for them and receive assurance of his adoption through the Holy Spirit. The one who truly belongs to God will glory in the cross of Christ, for in it he has found the demonstration and proof of God's love for him. His confidence does not come from self-assurance, but from the Spirit himself, who bears witness with his Spirit that he is a child of God. And because he knows God is his Father, he does not hesitate to boldly petition his help. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah ask Yahweh to execute judgment on their enemies. Jehoshaphat concludes his faithful prayer with this bold petition. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And this is what pleases Yahweh, to have the eyes of his people on him. Christians long and pray for the consummation of God's eternal kingdom. The one who truly belongs to God will pursue God's kingdom. God will make known to him the mystery of his will, and he will eagerly pray for that day when God unites all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. For the time being, God wants us to worship and obey him while he delivers us. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah obeyed the word of Yahweh and worshiped him as they went out to meet their adversary. After Jehoshaphat prayed, and you'll recall that prayer ended with his telling God, "Our eyes are on you." Yahweh replied through Jahaziel, who was a Levite and descendant of Asaph, saying, "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel." Congratulations, Amy. You did better than me. "You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed." So Jehoshaphat tells Yahweh, "Our eyes are on you." And Yahweh answers, "I'll work with that. You will not fight this battle. I will fight it for you." However, he gives them a command to obey. They must go to meet the enemy at a certain place and stand firm, hold their position, and see their salvation. What happens next is beautiful. Worship breaks out. Jehoshaphat and all the people of Judah, men, women, and children, fall down before Yahweh. Then the Kohathites and the Korahites, skilled temple musicians, stand up and praise Yahweh with a loud voice. As I read this inspiring passage, I can't escape the impression that the battle is already over. They've already won. Victory is a foregone conclusion. And that is how it plays out for Judah. They get up the next morning and do what God commanded them to do. They dress some singers in priestly attire and put them in front of the army. And they go out into the wilderness of Tekoa to meet their adversaries, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And while they're on their way, worshiping and singing, God masterfully accomplishes what they could never pull off on their own. In an ironic twist, Yahweh sets an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who are trying to execute a sneak attack, and they completely destroy each other to the last man. When Judah arrives on the scene, the only thing left to do is to collect the spoils. They return to Jerusalem, worshiping, and the story concludes. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. I hope today that you know that Jesus has won the decisive battle for you 2,000 years ago. His ultimate victory, which is your ultimate victory, is a foregone conclusion. However, like the army of Judah, he gives us a command to obey. Christians live by faith in the gospel and obedience to Jesus' commands, meeting every circumstance of life as an occasion to offer themselves in worship as a living sacrifice to God. The one who truly belongs to God will walk by faith, and he will do the things Jesus commands. He is crucified with Christ, and he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. The life he lives in the body, he lives by faith in the Son of God. Furthermore, because the Son of God loved him and gave himself up for him, he is fully devoted to bringing his Savior glory. Every moment, he is presenting his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is his spiritual worship, and worship is victory, or at least as close we'll come to it on this side of eternity. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah worship Yahweh, and the battle is over before it had begun. When we see Jesus in worship, we have already attained that for which everything has its purpose. The one who truly belongs to God will, even if he suffers and dies, attain and worship everything he is hoping for. What do you hope for most in the depths of your soul? The Lord taught his disciples how to pray by asking first, not that we would be delivered from evil or that we would be given our daily bread. The first request is that the Father's name would be made holy. His kingdom would come, and his will would be done on earth as in heaven. All particular requests in prayer, when they are spiritual, eventually build to this: desiring God and his will. And to desire God and his will is the victory over every battle, even if that battle is going to kill you. And it's inevitable that one will. You've won eternally. God's victory is your victory. The Holy Spirit teaches us to desire this. Let me share an occasional experience of mine, which I suspect many of you can relate to. After I have wrestled with God in prayer over some deeply troubling battle in my life, like Jesus in the garden, the turmoil of my spirit eventually breaks, and what remains are simple longings to be with God, for his will to be done, and for strength and courage to obey whatever he commands. There is peace because my desire is fixed on things he has already guaranteed. Prayer, worship, and life are fully integrated. Christians are engaged in a spiritual war, not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, cosmic forces that oppose God. God purposefully permits this engagement that we might grow in faith and holiness. We experience deliverance when we look to Jesus as our Savior, and his deliverance will be accompanied by our obedience and worship. Jehoshaphat and Judah looked to Yahweh in their time and received deliverance from their enemies. Let us look in our time to the champion of our faith, knowing that even now we have been given victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what Jehaziel was. He was a worship leader. And worship that is in spirit and in truth aligns our desires on God and his will. It transforms us by renewing the mind in his presence. Are you facing an adversary today that is troubling you? I want to close by singing you a song. And while I do that, I invite you to close your eyes and worship. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.